Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up!
Pembroke Harper Sini, Pembroke Harper Sini, Pembroke Harper Sini, Pembroke Harper Sini.
Well, hopefully you will go by the sound of the tune that's Auld Lang Syne. We were late saying that. Continuing our journey in Welsh. No, special episode today.
It is. Captain. Yeah. Second wife. Birthday.
Second birthday.
Second. Terrible twos.
It is the terrible twos.
Here we go.
Naughty this year. Even more naughty. No, this is a bit of a Inception episode.
It is. Yeah.
Recorded three different times. Like, this is the first part, but we've recorded it last. At your house.
Yeah.
The second bit was recorded at my
house.
Last bit was, we'll let people find out.
On location. So.
But it's a bit different today.
It is. Yeah.
We don't need to review challenges, and we'll do that in the next one.
Yeah, challenges we'll do in the next one. I think we set ourselves a challenge. Yeah, we do. Set ourselves a challenge and complete it in one episode.
This is a very efficient episode.
It is,
Well, just enjoy. We just want to do a little intro, just so people know what's going on. It's a slight different format. But
Coming out on a different day as well.
Yes,
actually on our birthday.
Breaking the fortnight rule.
We are, yeah. And then, yeah, we'll be back probably a couple of weeks then.
Couple of,
for the next one.
When we can be arsed.
Yeah.
But please feel free to send us lots and lots of birthday messages and tell us about how we've changed your life.
And birthday gifts.
And
we
gifts.
We love gifts.
Maya, we've run out of beer.
Yeah.
As well, we're going back to that was a really shit thing. I don't know what I'm thinking of. So as we said in the intro, we've turned two. So going all the way back to 2 years ago, probably over 2 years ago when we started having a conversation about it, wasn't it? But how it all actually started, which I think we've mentioned, was book club in a pub.
Yep.
So we'd meet on a Wednesday or Thursday at the pub. It was the dark times, as I call them, COVID.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So sometimes it was outside, sometimes it was inside.
Sometimes it was walking.
Sometimes it was walking.
Yeah. And we always made sure we met.
We traded books.
We did.
We? Once a week. Not every, well, that's sometimes be a couple of weeks we hadn't finished. Or we talk about books.
Yeah.
We talk about music. And then that flowed into the conversation about why we're here today.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going back to books. So it's the start of a year. I know a big thing for people now. You've used Goodreads for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done about, well, I properly started using it last year, but I think I've been signed up for a good few years on Goodreads. And I know I've been saying to you, get on Goodreads.
I know.
Get on Goodreads.
I looked back at it because I rejoined this year.
Oh, you got me a coffee. Sorry,
Thank you for that. That's all right.
Thanks.
It's like magic. Abracadabra.
Avada Kedavra. Well, there's one book
we're going to come on to that
way
now.
Through.
We're going to come on to that now. Oops, you've got my coffee. Why is all going on here? Sorry, I need to reset. nope, authentic voice. So, we decided we'll just talk a little bit because I'm going to use it properly this year. Because last year I read quite a lot. And I thought to myself, I was going to set up an Instagram account and make it all about like books that I read, poems. Not even put an essay in my name, but just, you know, because I like following book accounts and stuff like that. But to separate off my personal account with books. But anyway, Goodreads is a simple way of really doing it, isn't it?
Yep.
And you can be social with it, you can add people.
And you, I think you can share things too.
Can you?
I think you can, I'll
have a little look as we're talking. But I set a goal this year.
You did.
That I want to, I got a lot of books to read, that's why I set the goal. So I want to read 30 books.
30 goals?
30, 30
books.
I'm gonna score 30 goals on FIFA. more than that.
That'll be hard.
And yeah, I wanted to read 30 books, and it quite handily works out for you, says you need to do 2.5 books a month. And I noticed people sharing at the end of last year their Goodreads stats.
Yeah, so I had that. That was quite cool. Yeah.
Tells you on average how many page books you read and stuff like that. So I'm going for it. So I'm currently, my first book of the year is The Kite Runner, which has been recommended I don't know how many times. I don't know why I left it so long. And I am hooked.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't think there's been many books I've read where the author has made me feel, well, A, emotionally, truly emotionally invested in the book. But the descriptions I was telling you earlier, when I like, it brings all the senses to life. So Callie Desainio wrote it. You know, obviously we're not going to give plots and stuff away, but sort of set around Afghanistan and people, two friends, and then Afghanistan goes through the troubles with the Russians and things like that, doesn't it? And he talks a little bit about their experience, but he's a writer, and he talks a little bit about his journey to becoming a writer. And I just honestly, I'm hooked. And in four sessions, I think I've got 100 pages to go. And that tells you a good book, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think, well, just from us talking, I was like, oh, well, I wanted to read The Kite Runner.
Yeah.
Charlotte's read it, turns out it's at her mum's.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, you've got A Thousand Splendid Sons. Nope.
Yep. No, she doesn't have that one.
Nope. So, but she has got On the Mountains Echoed, so that's why I've just started yesterday. And yeah, I did the same. I sat and I read 30 pages straight away. Wow. For me, I'm a very, very slow reader.
Mm.
I always have been a slow reader. But you could just instantly picture, like, it started with someone telling a myth.
Yeah.
And you could just picture everything. It Brilliant. Was so well described. It was almost an immersive book. And alongside that, I'm still reading Please Kill Me, which is the oral history of punk.
Yes.
Which I know I've mentioned other times, and I read a fair bit of it actually on the flight to New York.
You
know, to again help the immersement when I was out there.
Did you find it helped?
It really did, yeah, because I could, when I was walking down, I could point out like different things to Charlotte a bit more. And then when we stood outside the club, I could find pictures where you could see like the Ramones stood outside, and I was like, that's a coffee shop we're in, looking across, they're there.
Wow.
You know, and it was those sort of things. So it was really nice to just picture yourself there. And obviously, you know, I've used it a fair bit. And what I like about it is the want to read. And I know I bang on quite a lot, but Lawrence, my brother-in-law, did a great gift for me where he went into my want to reads last year and bought me a load of books for Christmas.
Yeah,
from
really
that.
Good.
And for me, that was, so I made my way as much as possible through those books.
That's really good.
And it's just a nice way, you know, and they were all secondhand.
That's another thing.
And so that's where I'll be getting most of your gifts from. And Sarah's on it. I don't know whether a friend requested her, but
she's,
I don't think she's friended me. Oh, no. What's wrong with her?
You can have to buy her a voucher.
I know Charlotte got a Kindle and she does both. But for me, I'm just, I won't do it. I read one book, Flowers for Algernon.
Mm.
I don't know if you've read that. I recommend that.
Is it? Yeah.
That's
What's
really
called Flowers
good.
Of?
Flowers for Algernon.
Oh, okay.
It's about, just someone's journey.
Okay.
The best
way
to put it. But I struggled with the weight of it.
Yeah.
Because it's so light. But also, I just like a book.
Yeah, me too.
I just like holding the paper. But also, on the other hand, if you're travelling a lot, a Kindle probably does.
I still like,
although I know
book.
You travel, so
I remember going on holiday to Bali and Kuala Lumpur, pre Nora, and going into Waterstones and buying, I think it was, well, I bought, it's over there, Richard Brautigan's one, Trout Fishing in America, Stefan Zweig, it's about chess, that one, really good one. And there were three sort of shorter stories.
Yeah.
And I took them and I read them all while I was away. And I liked that by the pool, because I think sometimes with a short story, when you're away, you think, well, I'm going to get through this book.
Yeah.
And I go on to another one. The thing for me with a Kindle is, like, for example, another book I bring in that I was saying to you about earlier, I can't recommend highly enough, on the same line as Kite Runner, is A Little Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Hanya Yanagihara. And it is, again, along with Kite Runner, one of the best things I've ever read. Very hard. Both of them are tough reads.
Yeah.
Difficult. But it's very realistic. You can see these things happening. So I said to Sarah the other day, because we were talking, I said, oh, when you read, you know, on the Kindle, I said, when you read A Little Life, she's read The Kite Runner. And it was like, oh, let me just have a little look on my Kindle. So it's a thing. Oh, it's $5.99. I wait for them to come down in price before I get them. And then something else I read about Kindle, which I didn't like, is when you buy a book on Kindle, you don't buy the book, you buy the right to read it. So if I've got a Kindle and I think Bryn would really like this,
you can't share
unless I give you my Kindle and log in.
Yeah,
but if I got a book, I've handed you one today, haven't I?
Yeah, you give me Sword House 5, because that's next on my list. And actually, I'll be, well, I don't know if you've got a Blind Boy one, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't got the Gospel.
The Gospel, okay, so
I've got
that,
the other one.
Yeah, so I'm probably just going to be reading all your books. I think that's why this year I'll just be borrowing as many. But also, I've said I wanted to read some books on Chartists.
Yes.
I'd like to read some things on that. And I think I've never really got much into biographies.
Haven't you?
No. So maybe I might pick out a couple of people I'm really interested in
and go for them.
Just have a look at some biographies as well. Yeah,
I think like biographies are interesting versus autobiographies, because with autobiographies you can kind of like pen your own story, and we will all, unless you're a complete I've got Morrissey's autobiography, and I know he's a very divisive figure.
Yeah.
I actually picked that up in The Murringer. Mm. The pub by us, The Murringer's got a wicked little bookshelf, isn't it? Like, and you take three for £2 and they put it in the charity pot, whatever. And I picked that up more just out of curiosity, because it was like, I wonder how he comes across in his own story. But biographies are interesting, because I read last year quite a thick book, but it was the definitive biography on Johnny Cash by his biographer, because we used a bit of it in the episode, didn't we? And it's interesting because they're sort of sat back and they just look at everything and write about it. So
almost like a research project, isn't it?
Exactly that. And I think, talking about that as well, I don't know if it's out when, probably will be by this, I think it might have just come out, but Prince Harry.
Yep, his book. Yeah,
we're getting a look into the royal life that we've not seen.
No, yeah, and again, polarizing people a lot,
massively,
with different views and how they react, and
like, you know, the sibling fighting and all that. Yeah. Like, I just, you know, the thing is though, you just remember they're human beings.
Yeah, I mean, what siblings don't fight, you know?
Exactly.
No, that shouldn't be shocking, should it? It shouldn't be shocking that, you know, they pushed each other. You know, I can remember me and my sister used to have a couple of scraps. You know, nothing
she used to win
as big. Yeah, I pulled a chunk of her hair out once.
Did you? Brin's aggressive.
I know.
Did she get your hair? Because you would have had hair at the time. Did she get you
back? Oh, thanks. I'm sure she did in her own way. Yeah. Or she's plotting.
She's going to get you. Like,
still there. Yeah.
But no, I think, is there any other like books that have been on your list for a while that you haven't got round to yet?
Fahrenheit 451. I know I mentioned.
Joseph Heller.
It's Ray Bradbury.
Ray Bradbury,
I agree with you last time. I'd like to look into that one a bit. Christmas Carol.
Yes, you said.
I know we mentioned, so I might pin that towards Christmas. Yeah. Dracula is on my list as well. So yeah, I've put a few in, like Coraline to Neil Gaiman. Yes. Underground Railroad, which I know we spoke about. I think you've read that. We were watching it. So essentially, all the books you've got up there.
Well, that's Boy good
in Striped Pyjamas as well.
I've got that up there as well. It's like a library.
There we go.
But you know what as well? It probably touches on a really good point, because Sarah this year for Christmas bought me a pile of books, and she bought them secondhand. Mm. So my mum and dad got me Bob Mortimer's new fiction one.
Yeah.
So excited for that. But I'm holding off, so I just don't want to, I want to pick the right time and read it. But that was a hardback and it was new.
Mm.
Which is fine, but Sarah bought me a pile of books and she went online and found them secondhand. And I think that's a really good shout. Don't just go on Amazon and buy Prime brand new, because there'll be loads in circulation.
So I'm just as you're saying, I'm typing in, so I'm going to put in a couple of links to ones that I use, which are World of Books and Abe Books. I think they're linked,
okay,
they're sort of similar, but those ones which I use, and they seem to have everything on there, even when I'm looking for uni stuff. And it is mainly secondhand.
I love that.
Books on there. So, but also, nip to a charity shop.
Yeah, go to a charity
shop.
There's
always ones. And just random ones. You know, set yourself a challenge. Yes. Go into a bookshop or a charity shop and you have to leave with one book. Maybe that's what we need to do.
That's a good shout.
Maybe that's our challenge for this one. Yeah. Is to, literally, we'll go out shopping together. Oh, I did it in the Murringer for you, didn't I?
Oh, you did, didn't you?
So we'll go to the Murringer and we'll pick a book.
Have a beer, pick a book for
each other. Pick a book. It has to be a short book, though. Yeah. You've got to give me a chance.
No, but I think, like, and it's also interesting when someone picks a book for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, like, what, you know, because then you can read it and go, well, what drew you to that? Could be the cover.
Yeah.
Could be I've read that author before. Mm. Like, you know, it could be I look at, because when Sarah and I went to the Murringer before, this is like sponsored by the Murringer.
I know.
That, right? But I picked up a book by Olivia Lang, and she was like a column, I think I mentioned on a pod before, but she was a journalist for The Guardian and amongst other sort of things, but she'd done a couple of books, and I we were looking through the bookshelf, it was on my birthday, and it was late, it was Bank Holiday Monday, it was like me, Sarah, Rob behind the bar, and another regular. It was so quiet, it was lovely, and we were just all chatting.
And was it around your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was around, we were picking off things off the like books off the shelf, and then Sarah just picked one up for me and said, it's like, oh, this one, you might like this one, it was Olivia Lang, The Trip to Echo Falls, and it was about six of the most famous American writers, and they were all alcoholics.
Okay.
So it was talking, so it was like F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Tennessee Williams.
I'm sure it's Ernest Hemingway stayed in the Plaza in New York.
That's right.
He had a residency or something there, didn't he? Yeah.
So F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway were friends.
Yeah.
And they hung around in New York a lot. The difference was Ernest Hemingway was from like an Irish family, quite tough working class. And F. Scott Fitzgerald wanted to be part of New York's upper society.
Right, okay.
That's why The Great Gatsby, which I haven't read yet, but I know the premise of it, is all around high society in New York.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah, some of the books she said, she bought me F. Scott, I can't even think of the name of it now, it's upstairs. But she bought me a book by F. Scott Fitzgerald I hadn't heard of. But again, that's, and she bought me another book I'd never heard of. But I love that. I love the fact she picked them.
Yeah.
I'll read them.
Yeah.
Because she, and it's like, people paying attention to you. It's like, oh, I think you'd like this. It doesn't always hit the mark.
No.
You think the, but the reason I picked that was because I thought you'd like this type of book. So yeah, I've got Bob Mortimer one on this. I've got literally loads of Christmas. Going back to our last episode, I got The Bicycle Diaries by David Byrne.
Okay.
We talked about David Byrne.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That was both from Talking Heads. So I got that secondhand again, like book. All I like the pages are curled up.
Yeah.
And all that's cool.
I like the smell of books.
I know
it's weird.
It's weird.
Just, Yeah, the smell of it. But also, I know we mentioned we'll return to this, but you're nearly there, aren't you, with Harry Potter?
Yes. So, I am. I've just come into the end of the last book. I've really...
Do you want to know what happens?
I hope they stuck true to the film. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned before, I love the fact that you can tell it was written with a certain age group in mind and it grew with them. And obviously she was aware that parents were getting into it with their kids. And the growth of the book grows with the characters. I'll tell you one thing, there's a couple of stand-up moments in there. I really enjoyed Order of the Phoenix. I know that's not everyone's favourite because it's the longest book. But I just loved the detail it gave behind.
Yeah.
It gave so much more. I think a lot of my questions came from not understanding that properly. Because if you think in the film, they've only got 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's hard to really dive into why it's there, why it was formed. But in the last book, obviously I won't give it away, people might still be out there wanting to read it, but I did love the chapter about the three brothers and the Deathly Hallows, and I thought that was, there was loads of bits in the film where I could think, oh, I can see how they've done that really well. That was the bit I thought, when it drifts off into a storytelling, and I can imagine how a lot of people would have read that and then seen the film, it was almost like a perfect transplant from one to the other.
But it does, it just captures imagination, you know, those things. And also, you know, touching on Order of the Phoenix, obviously you saw the Lego that me and Charlotte got.
Very good.
Of Grimmauld Place, which is
it's epic.
An outstanding piece of Lego. And, you know, and I'm a big, as you know, we're big fans of Lego.
Yes.
I reckon, yeah, people to have a look at it. It's a really, I wasn't sure how they do it, but it works really well.
It's epic.
They've done it. Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think I love, like, the Lego, it's got a bit of mechanics behind it. You know, like, you know, you've got the two houses and you push them back and then Grimmauld Place sort of
just appears. Yeah, there you are. You spoil it. I was telling people to have a look.
I don't know what Grimmauld Place is.
Yeah, I know.
You got given a really cool, but going into film, a TV slightly, but the Stranger Things set, the little special edition.
Off my mum. Yeah, yeah. The small one, which was given, like, I think it was the premieres in New York and London. So small, yeah, like the Will's Camp.
That's right.
Well, which I haven't built yet. I don't know. That's the trouble. It's like, oh, but then Lego's there to play with, not to sell.
Yes.
Me, so.
And I think that,
as you've discovered,
well, just a little segue into Lego. It's something that I didn't really play with when I was younger. I played like Sabutio and other things, but it was just something I'd always liked, you know, and I felt I would like. It's like my kind of thing, you know. So it was like, well, I've got Nora, that's something we can do together. And we started off, we bought a couple of, for her birthday last year, a couple of Mickey and Minnie sets. Minnie's camper van, because she liked Mickey's trailer, the old episode of Mickey's trailer on Disney.
Yeah.
We'd watch those, it was only 7 minutes long. But at the same time, she liked, there's one with a space station with a rocket, so we bought that. Then there's a series that Lego do called Lego Friends. So there was like a little play park for dogs, so we got that. Then there was a couple of Frozen things, because she was in Frozen at the time. But then Sarah, for Christmas, got me an X-Wing.
Which you haven't let me play with yet.
I will in a sec. You can have a play with my X-Wing, all right?
happy birthday.
It shoots lasers as well. It does. But okay, what I love about Lego, and I know you and Charles do this sometimes, when you open the box, you get the bags, don't you? So it tells you what order to build in. So that one had 4.
Yeah.
So it's like, built the first 2 the first night, and then built the second 2 the next night,
you know,
and taking your time.
And that's what we're doing with the office one. Because we're like that's all families have given us.
That's right.
So we got the office set, and we've done, we did last night, we did 2 bags of Lego watching,
God, yeah, watching
some TV, and then we'll probably do that, and it will last, you know, a good few days then. until we get too excited and just build the whole thing.
But I did notice something, just coming back to what our pod's about, you know, about that mental health opening conversations. But I did notice that Lego specifically on Instagram had an advert on their page the other day about how Lego is good for mindfulness. Mm. Now, part of you could say, oh, they're tapping into the mindfulness market. I find it really is good for mindfulness because you don't do anything else.
No, you zone out almost, and it's just you're in a world of your own.
I think the only time I picked my phone up to you was to show you what I built.
Yeah.
So I think I texted, I'm about to do this.
Yeah.
And then I went off, and probably about a good hour and 20 later, I'd done the two bags of it. Then I said to you, this is my progress.
Yeah.
But for at least for that hour and a half, you are fully distracted.
Yeah.
We could look in a few trips at the history legs. I bought Charlotte for Christmas. I've
got quite a few Lego books and so yeah, we could actually look at the history of Lego.
But books wise, coming back, right, stand
but
out.
But also, I think just before that, this is how our pub chats used to go.
They used to go like this, didn't they? Yeah.
Like, we used to talk about books, and then, like, we've got some of our early recordings which we haven't released, but we start talking about things and just go off segues and chat, you know, and that's what I like about the authentic conversation. It just flows. But anyway.
No, but the test conversation was that we've got in the back was about an hour or so, and we thought, right, can we keep going?
Yeah.
We didn't have a plan.
No.
We just came in and went, right, let's just chat for an hour. Mm. And it was literally, that was the closest probably we could give people insight into our pub chats. We've done some where we've recorded off key before in the pub, and we just like, to be honest with you, actually, every time we turn the mics on, we know the subject, but we don't go, right, you research this, this. It's like, right, let's, you go and read, I'll go and read and watch, and you read and
we'll just see what we get,
what happens, right? But you can see in my house, like, and I know it's the same over yours as well, and I was talking to someone about this again in work recently. If I go in a house and someone's got vinyl books, whatever, like, I'll ignore them and just stand and look at the bookshelf.
I was doing that when you were making the first coffee. I stood looking at your books and going, which ones can I grab next?
Will you notice? But no, I think that's a good chat. In fact, we'll skip the challenge section as part, and we'll just say that's what we're going to do.
That's our challenge.
We're going to go out together, probably the Murringer or to an independent bookshop, charity shop. We're going to pick a book out for each other.
And we'll have a pint to celebrate our birthday.
Boom ting. So again, I think we should say this as much as we can. Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to us.
Seagull. Corner.
So we've gone on location now. Wonder if people could guess where we are.
I know. Well, this is talk about organic podcasting. Mm-hmm. That's how this happened. We were talking at my house, I think. We recorded the pod. And we just sort of said, we started talking about the Murringer. Then we know they have a bookshelf.
Yeah. And it's our birthday.
We mentioned it might have been once, but we should remind people.
We thought we should go out and celebrate, shouldn't we?
So we're out.
Complete a challenge at the same time.
Well, this is just it was actually the perfect challenge.
It was a perfect challenge.
We've come to the Murringer to have a lovely pint. Mm-hmm. We do love this place.
Yeah.
Don't we? A lot of history. I think there's probably another pod. We'll probably do one on the Chartists in the future, which will link a bit with this pub, because one of the key and influential figures, John Frost, was involved in that. I think he was the proprietor of this place for a short while. Yeah. So there'll be some links there. But they've got a cracking little bookshelf, mate. We've spent a while there.
Yeah, I think before talking about it, we have completed one of QE's challenges.
We have.
Finally. We got to a trick point.
We created one. The Captain and Cook trick.
Have to try and find it now.
Basically, just some stones with fog in the back. Good luck.
But we talk about the place so much.
We do.
People should be able to find out where it is.
And actually, if we know we have listeners abroad, troll back to the pods and maybe listen out for a place that we keep bringing up.
Yeah.
That's one of our go-tos when we feel we need to go there. Walk.
We do, yeah.
But yeah, we've gone up. We spent some time at the thing. Now, we should come back. It's three paperbacks for £2.
Yeah.
So we've picked one for each of us. We've picked one each.
Yeah.
So I picked one for Bryn. Bryn's picked one for me. But Bryn picked up a cracking little one that is going to feature, I think, in...
I think it will, yeah. So we're going a bit My Dad Wrote a Porno style.
Well, they finished.
Yeah, they finished. We're taking it up. Yep. Not that... No, I know he listens. I don't think my father's written anything.
I don't think Michael check.
I don't think so. There is someone I know who has, though. And I won't say her name, but there is somebody I know who does write erotic fiction. But I found the French Musical Library.
Yep.
The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And it's a musical.
We've just had a small read through, haven't we?
We've just had a very, very small read through. So we are, I'll just do, so just so people know, just to start.
Yes.
Just to start. So as the music begins on, the stage begins to come alive, as if in the memory of the speaker. Ceiling fans in the upstairs rooms begin to turn, and we are seeing a romanticized vision of the 1930s chicken ranch, a warm night in the Texas countryside. The director may adjust this scene to the space available, but generally the following occurs. Three girls appear up in their rooms upstairs, check their makeup and adjust their assets. One comes downstairs ready for the evening, looking for non-existent customers, disappointed.
So if everyone, if that's wet people's appetite, then you might hear some acting. We're going to bring actors in.
Yep.
Who are going to play the parts.
Yep. Famous actors, maybe.
And read we'll and read through, yeah. But yeah. No, that was just a little funny find, wasn't it? That we things come to you sometimes,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, and it's made us chuckle. So I think we'll, every now and again, our Seagull Corner is going to be reading.
But basically, we've just found material, so if we can't be asked to make something up,
we'll just read a scene. Yeah, I think we've got about, I think there's 16 scenes, so.
And the good news is, we can bunch all them together, a bit like we did with our story.
Yes.
And do them in one go afterwards. So, yeah. I will.
What did you get me?
I got you a book by Dorth Morse.
Ooh.
And it's a double-sided book. Now, I've come to the Murringer quite a lot. This book, I've picked it up a few times, and it's still there. So I was like, it's still there. Let's get this for bread. It's double-sided, and it's going to confuse you. So you have to flip it around, turn it upside down. But the side I'm looking at is Karate Chop. And in these glittering, funny miniature tales, the acclaimed Danish writer Dorth Nors sketches ordinary lives taking unexpected turns. A son's love for his father is tested when he suddenly discovers its fragility. A woman in an abusive relationship seeks to better understand the choices she has made. A man with dreams of self-improvement is haunted by deceit. And a daughter watches on silently as her mother's search for meaning ends in madness. Blending compassion with dark delight, Norse conjures up a flawed, unsettlingly familiar world with each cautionary glance, as fresh moments of wonder, romance, and frail beauty are unexpectedly infiltrated by depravity, isolation, and despair. So it's all themes of the pod and things like that.
No, that's cool. So they're short stories, are they?
I think so, from what I can understand,
Which is not,
I was thinking that with the way with your studying and things like that as well.
If I work for like lunch in work, I might take it to work.
Perfect.
And that's my break, my escape, or you know, after a heavy session, I might just sit down and just read a couple of short stories.
But remember which side you're on.
Yeah, I know. Which way am I reading? I'll start reading upside down instead. Oh, that's interesting. So the other side is just all one-line things.
Ah.
Almost like a really long poem.
There you go.
Very nice. Thank you very much. So your gift... and I know you said you've looked at this.
I know.
Before, so it's Punch, Kate North, and again, short stories.
Cool.
Interesting.
Love
both
that.
Pitch short stories.
Yeah.
I could probably have got you about 10 books up there. I mean, like
the wife
we're
between
both
us.
Both friends in Khaled Hosseini, or you've just finished at the moment. I'm partway through one, and they got two of those books up there. But this one, so where there's a man with a growth on his hand, a couple trying for a baby, a woman finishing a book, a pope with penis envy, or a bullied girl, the characters caught in the slipstream world of Punch have no choice but to look again at their surroundings and themselves. Humorous, disturbing, this is life in the 21st century.
That sounds good. That sounds like my cup of tea, genuinely.
It really does. And, I mean, we all know you've got a middle name of Stefan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, fab, because this is Signed for Stefan by Kate North. So... And you were in Killian in 2019, yeah?
I was, actually.
Awesome, that's great to know.
To be honest with you.
It's also for Alex and George, but yeah.
You know, the worst thing is, I think I was, because it was the Killian, me and my mum, I think that might have been the first year my mum played the Killian Festival.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
So they must have had a book festival or something.
Must have had the book festival at the same time, so... Yeah, so there you go. So it's I've got you a signed book if you change your name.
So sorry to Dad, I know I was my middle name was after him, Andrew.
Yeah.
No, I'm Aaron Stefan.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Dad's a bit more cultured as well, Stefan.
Or just find someone called Stefan and give it to them as if it's been signed for them.
I did just go to school with Stefan. We've lost touch, but so maybe that's the way we can repay.
Yeah.
Repay?
Repay.
I got you, mate, I haven't spoke to you for like 15 years, but here's
a book. Signed book from 3 years ago.
I've been waiting 3 years to give you this. You know what? I've really enjoyed going back to books. this pod. I think it's something this year we'll have to dip it. We've done like 1984, haven't we, in the past, which was a really interesting one. Probably one.
I mean, I think, I know I mentioned his name, but I think Khaled Hosseini's going to
come. Yes.
Simply definitely. Because we've read different one each.
Yep.
And there's one, I think he's got three, and I'm sure he's done poems. I'm sure I bought Charlotte a selection of poems by him as well.
Cool. That'd be
so
good.
I'll go
to look
for
at.
A hunt, see if I can find that one. But
he's one that a lot of people have read as well, I think. It's particularly
it's
the Kite Runner,
the
isn't it?
People,
yeah.
Like, in work, they looked at it like, oh, I haven't seen that one by him. I think I'm reading When the Mountains Echoed. And yeah, so people are just like, everyone seems to know him or have read his books, and
and if you read the back as well, I think it's in the inside backseat of Kite Runner. It might be in the one you're reading, The Mountains Echoed, you've got, haven't you? I think, is it?
Yeah.
In the back of there as well, he does, he has got a foundation that supports displaced people in Afghanistan as well. So I think when you read his books, you get that love for his country, but it's love that's almost been stamped on by the Western world, which has caused infighting. And now obviously Afghanistan's popping up on the news again now, isn't it, with what's going on with the Taliban and restricting women's rights. I read this week that Australia cricket team have pulled out of their test matches with Afghanistan, which was going to be played in United Arab Emirates, I think, but they have pulled out of that. And obviously it'd be the cricket team's fault, but that's Australia making a stand. And I think if you go back to our World Cup one, where we said about we were interested what people would do.
And I mean, it always goes back to, and we're kind of going off what happens. That's what we do. Longest seagull corner thing. But going back to apartheid and how teams like South Africa weren't in the first two Rugby World Cups, I believe.
That's right,
because of apartheid. And you know, obviously you had then, you know, the fact they won in 95.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Bit. But lots of people wouldn't go, or players decided they wouldn't go. So like Lucky Sound Lions tours, because they stood against apartheid, so they wouldn't go to South Africa. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, I think we could open a can of worms there.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, you know, just it was just been interesting. That's what, like you said earlier on, when we started this pod to celebrate our birthday, we didn't think we'd end up doing the Seagull Corner here, but that's the way it went.
No?
Now we try and keep it organic for people. Trust me, guys, when we say we do not come with a plan.
Yeah.
Right, like we do our research for pods when we're doing episodes, because that's just a prudent thing to do. You would, just to do the people we're talking about justice. But I think generally these kind of chats, we might drop a little bit more of these in where we're at a pub, at a coffee shop, where we're chatting about things that are current affairs, books that we're enjoying. And let us know if you like that as well, if you like listening to that, because honestly as well, we need that interaction. We had growth last year, we want more growth this year. But we do like it when people get involved.
Yeah.
We like it when people, so when we get suggestions, like Kerry's message on the last pod we read out, where she went back to that letter.
Yeah.
Lovely for us, wasn't it? But
I think, just before we say goodbye, one little more bit.
Little more, that's great English.
For the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Yep.
I'm going to read the final stage directions.
Okay.
Just so people are really excited. The curtain call, I think this should be our live show as well.
Okay.
Maybe read this bit for our last show. The curtain call should be a big hoedown finale. Get the people stomping and clapping.
Or hold on. I can't wait to practice my accents, honestly. But until then, until the next time, it is a try from me.
And it's a try from him.